Welcome to Smashterpieces, a casual walk through the history of the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate roster. My name is Joe.
And my name is Matt.
And if you're new here, what we are doing on this show is we are playing one game for every character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate from 1984's Duck Hunt to 2017's Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And today's episode is part three of our game representing fighter number 61, Cloud. It is the 1997 PlayStation 1 game, Final Fantasy VII.
This one just keeps going, doesn't it?
It sure does keep going.
The years start coming and they don't stop coming.
We are going to talk about from, I believe, yeah, the last episode ended at Cosmo Canyon, after the end of Cosmo Canyon. And this one will take us all the way to the end of Disc 1. Which happened to be a very convenient stopping point.
I mean, it is, of course, a significant event in the game's story.
One of the most significant events in video games, some might say. Because it's one of the most famous events in video games. It's like the one thing everybody knows about Final Fantasy VII. Outside of Sephiroth is the antagonist.
Yep, so Aerith is dead.
She is gone.
I'm sure that this was a lot more impactful when the sheer concept of a party member permanently being removed was almost unheard of.
Yes, there's only one other game that I can think of that did it and would have done it before Final Fantasy VII, but it'd be a spoiler to say what it is, so I won't. But yeah, that, like, this isn't a thing games did, especially not JRPGs, where it was like, yeah, party member's dead forever. And people playing it as kids, it was shocking to them, I'm sure. I have heard many a story of people, like, trying to figure out, is there, like, some sort of cheat or something I can do to keep her alive? What do I do?
And, like, as it is now, in the year of our Lord 2019, this is not a new or novel concept. And all I can think about is how little I cared about Aerith.
Yeah, I'm kind of there as well. Cause the joke reason is, I mean, Tifa's better anyways, who gives a shit? But the actual reason is, like, you don't have, like, relatively that much time with her. Like, she died for me 18 hours into the game.
Well, also, like, she just doesn't have a very interesting character. I feel like probably what happened was when they were writing the game, they came up with the idea of a party member who is going to die first, and came up with the character second. And as a result, they were kind of afraid to make an interesting character.
Yeah, I guess it's possible they didn't want her to be, like, too beloved. But, like, people did like Aerith. Like, people still really like Aerith to this day. I don't think she's nearly as popular as Tifa.
I don't like Aerith. I think she's such a flat character, and I don't care at all. And kind of like the thing is, like, she doesn't do anything of consequence except for be an ancient.
She also flirts with Cloud, and that's literally all she does. She's a good healer, and that's gone now, which, you know, that probably helped it. That probably helped it along a lot.
Oh, that's the loss that I'm feeling. Her limit break. God, I'm going to miss that.
Like, I already know who's going to replace her. I'm going to replace her with Red 13, personally. So my party from here on is probably, like, taking me to the end of the game is probably going to be Cloud, Tifa, Red 13. Because we also got the other two party members, the last two party members being Vincent, which, hey, you want to talk about the really stupid string of events that you have to go through to get Vincent?
So I had someone, our friend who goes by Terios, was in the chat at the time, and he just told me how to do it straight up.
Oh yeah, I looked it up. After a bit, I looked it up. I was warned ahead of time that it would be fucking stupid, but then there's also that goddamn, that safe minigame can eat my entire ass. It's way too sensitive for what it is, and also, what the hell kind of safe goes right, left, right, right? That's not how safes work.
I mean, I don't know how safes work, if I'm going to be honest.
I only know how safes work because I had a locker in high school that I used one time, I guess.
Who uses lockers anymore?
Did you ever use your locker in high school?
I think I had one.
I think I used one in middle school, and then I always had one every year, and I never used it.
The most complete answer I can give you is that I think I had one.
And that should paint a picture for you about how little we mess with combination locks. That safe thing was stupid. And then, like, you're supposed to talk to him twice, which, like, he tells you to go away, and then you're supposed to talk to him again, and then he tells you to go away again, but if you only talk to him once when you leave, he'll do nothing, but if you talk to him twice and then you leave, he'll join your party. How the fuck did people figure this shit out? Like, back then.
They purchased a, oh, I can't say Nintendo Power, they purchased a subscription to
Final Fantasy Power.
PlayStation Power.
I guess it actually probably back then would have been the Prima Guide, wouldn't it? Would that have been Prima Guide in 97?
I assume so.
I'm going to assume so.
Yeah, let's find out.
But yeah, getting Vincent was stupid and dumb and convoluted.
Oh, here it is. The official Final Fantasy VII Strategy Guide PlayStation version by Brady Games.
Ah, yes, the well-known Brady Games that I'm totally not hearing about for the first time.
I had a lot of strategy guides as a kid. They made a lot of them.
I didn't buy any strategy guides ever as a kid, so.
Nowadays, Prima bought Brady Games.
Ah, well, there you go. Technically, I'm right.
The strategy guide business is not exactly booming nowadays.
Well, yeah, didn't Prima go under recently?
I'm not certain, but we've got that GameFAQs thing.
Yeah, we don't really need strategy guides anymore. But yeah, we also got Cid, who, his story sure happened.
I feel like the game really wants me to be sympathetic of him.
Yeah, but also he's an asshole.
It's not working.
But also, so here's the thing. It wants you to be sympathetic towards him that, like, his dream was ruined by this one lady. But, like, first of all, I have a few problems with Cid's story. If for some reason you were listening to this and didn't play, and aren't playing along with us, or haven't played Final Fantasy VII before, first off, what are you doing? Second of all, Cid's story is basically he was going to go to space, but when they were going to launch, his assistant was checking the oxygen tanks in a place where when the rocket took off, she would be killed. And Cid was like, oh no, you gotta get out of there. And then everybody attached to Cid was like, well, we can't stop the launch. To which I ask, why not?
Why not?
Why can't the launch wait a minute? And I'm sure some scientist could come to me and be like, well, like, you gotta launch at a very specific time window if you're going to, like, the moon. But Cid never mentions he's going to the moon. He just says he's going to space, which to me says that he was just going up into orbit, and I don't know if you know this about planets, it doesn't really matter when you go up into the sky, if you're just trying to get into orbit. Orbit happens to surround the entire planet. So
there's also just the matter of, like, it's kind of pushing suspension of disbelief, like, everything that happened with Shira down there.
Yeah, it...
Like, at no point did she, like, tell anyone, hey, we're not ready to launch, this is not gonna work. Because, if they were gonna make a point about, like, bureaucrats pushing the launch to have to happen at this time for whatever reason, then they could do that, but they didn't.
Yeah, they, like, it's just, oh man, who's down there? She didn't even tell anybody she was going down there. So, like, his whole story is nonsense. It doesn't make sense. It's dumb.
Yeah, there's actually no reason to think, to, like, feel that there is any urgency that means they have to take off now.
Yeah, it...
But there is this sense of urgency for some reason that is artificially put together, and I don't get it. So it just makes the entire thing seem like it could have been avoided. And it makes Shira seem awful. It makes Cid seem awful. It makes everyone involved seem awful. And I don't get it.
And also, as you pointed out in my stream chat, In the cutscene, it shows the rocket like start to take off, and then Sid like hits the emergency stop. It's still letting out quite a bit of fire. Shira still would have died.
It would have killed her.
Like it doesn't. Like he hit it too late. She still would be dead.
Turns out, convection happens.
So yeah, there's that. There is one very, very interesting thing I think we got at the very beginning of this part, though, which is the return to Nibelheim was actually quite neat, I think.
Oh, I forgot that that was this part. Oh my god, that was incredible.
Where it's like you walk into the town, it's like, hold up. This was supposed to have burnt down, though?
Yeah, and Cloud goes around and talks to everyone, and they don't know who he is.
And you walk into Cloud's house, and some dude is living there, not his mom.
Well, his mom's dead.
Oh, that's true. She did die.
But like, you walk into that house, and they're like, I've lived here my entire life.
Like, both Cloud and Tifa are telling everybody, like, I've lived here for years. I don't know who you are. What the hell is going on? And all of them basically greet them with, like, we don't appreciate that. Please leave.
It's really good.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. And then it ties into later with there's something up with Cloud. Something is wrong with Cloud.
Yes, like whatever is going on with him and Sephiroth. That's like actually really, really good.
Yeah, I'm finding it very neat. And I'm wondering if Tifa is included in that too. Because at one point after the flashback, I don't know if you remember before last episode.
Oh, yeah.
Tifa basically, like, asks Cloud, like, how bad was I? And Cloud's like, you were pretty bad. And she implies she doesn't remember how it went after that. Something might be up with her as well.
Well, we can kind of now make the inference that, like, nothing in the memory actually happened. Maybe. I mean, maybe. We don't know.
Well, obviously something weird was going on in Nibelheim because there were all those, like, all the Black Cloak number people wandering around.
Well, yes, but like the thing of it is like we had the big question, well, like actually how did they survive? And maybe the answer is they didn't survive anything. There was nothing to survive. It didn't happen. And I don't know the answer. I'm really, really looking forward to finding it out, because the way that they are telling this so far is incredible. Way better than anything that Sid did, I can tell you that much.
Yeah. Ah, yes. We also hit my new least favorite part of the game. Wutai!
Recruiting Yuffie was a mistake.
Yeah, Wutai feels like it's directly punishing you for recruiting one of the optional party members.
In fairness, like, I bought some really good gear there, like the best gear that we've had in the game yet. But I have a feeling that gear's not going to carry me to the end of the game.
Well, like, in fairness, yes, they have some very good weapons that my characters are all decked out with right now. And also, in fairness, Wutai is completely optional. Like, we didn't have to go there. We weren't even supposed to go there. We just happened to show up because we saw a red dot on the screen and thought, oh, that must be the next place to go. Or at least that's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
We could have gone straight to the place that told us where the keystone was.
I stumbled into it, yeah. And I didn't know what was happening. And it's just, the moment it starts, you're locked in. Mm-hmm. You have to keep going.
Well, yeah, it takes away all your fucking materia.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to do the whole thing without any materia. There's a boss fight.
That's also known as the best time to turn on cheat mode.
Pretty much, because it's like you have referenced multiple times, where it's like at the beginning of a JRPG, it's always a watered-down version of what the combat is going to become. Those are the words that you use to describe both Earthbound and this game. Both had that problem. And this was a side quest that was just like, what if we took it back to that, though? And it sucked! So yeah, Wutai was bad.
The Turks were cool.
The Turks were cool. Did we even get any of Yuffie's fucking backstory from that outside of, I lived in Wutai and the village is poor, so I stole materia.
It's a tourist trap now.
That's the only backstory we got from her. By the way, Yuffie's really popular. Not kidding.
It must be for Advent children.
No, because she was popular before that. And you know how I know that she and Aerith are popular?
How?
They're in Kingdom Hearts and Tifa's not.
That doesn't mean anything.
It does.
That doesn't mean they're popular. That means Nomura liked them.
Popular Final Fantasy characters end up in Kingdom Hearts. There are characters from 10. There's characters from 8 in that game. And barely anybody likes 8. Okay, some people like 8. A lot of people like 8. But there's a character from 9 in fucking 2. Aerith and Yuffie aren't just like side characters in Kingdom Hearts. They're like almost central characters for the place they are.
I still don't see why this necessarily means that it's because they're popular characters.
They're one of four Final Fantasy characters in the entire game who are voiced.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that they're not just there because Nomura likes them.
Cid is also in Final Fantasy. That's how I know he has a southern accent.
Not my Cid. Hashtag not my Cid.
What accent did you give Cid?
I made him sound like this, always screaming.
That's pretty good. I like that.
It worked really well in like the quieter scenes with him.
So I did hit one bad thing about this game, and I don't know what caused it. This is not a dig at like the game's design or anything like that, but it is a dig at, for some reason, within 24 hours, I had 3 crashes.
Hey, Square Enix, fix your Switch port.
2 of them happened while I was grinding at a Wutai before off stream, because I spent a bunch of time grinding, just running in circles around Wutai and grinding. And I went to stay in an inn, and then the jingle played, and the screen faded to black, and then the last second of the jingle played again, and then again, and then again.
Sick.
And then again, sick. And I had to reset the game. Then after that, I finished a fight and it faded back into the world map, but the victory jingle just kept going and the game froze.
Nice.
And then on stream, I fucking, was in the cutscene in the haunted hotel where everybody's having like a round table meeting and it froze as it was fading out of that. And I spent the rest of that stream absolutely terrified that it was going to crash again.
Sick.
So that's now happened to me 3 times in less than 24 hours. It didn't happen again for the rest of that stream. I'm considering archiving it and reinstalling it because I wasn't having that problem until now. And I haven't heard you talk about having that problem. And I imagine I would have.
No, my game hasn't crashed at all.
If you were. So maybe that would fix it. I don't know. But that's a problem that I'm currently having. Speaking of the haunted hotel, Kate Sith actually did something.
Unfortunately.
So, you remember last episode we talked about how Kate Sith felt like an optional party member because he seems dumb, he doesn't really do anything, and also his reason for joining the party is super dumb? Turns out that's on purpose. Because he's a fucking spy. And he also ruined the scene of you giving the materia to Sephiroth. Like, that straight up ruins the entire scene. Where he's like, "Hi, I'm Kate Sith 2. Oh, sorry. On my stream, he sounds like, "Hi, I'm Kate Sith 2.
I hate Kate Sith.
He's not good. He's not a good character.
Kate Sith 2 is like
the sequel no one asked for.
It might be the most insulting thing the game's writing has done.
But also, I think that scene is kind of genius because of what it comes before. Because Kate Sith dies, like, sacrifices his... They play it off like this big sacrifice was like, dude, a stuffed animal that you were controlling from across the world got crushed. You're not sacrificing yourself. You just broke a piece of equipment. But it's also like it kills this party member and then the party member immediately comes back. And then fucking half an hour later, it kills a party member. And oh no, that party member is dead actually for real. And I imagine that's probably what they were going for. But it doesn't land when like this big dramatic scene of Cloud having revealed to him that he is, like, there's something wrong with him, and Sephiroth can basically make him do shit. Followed by, "Hi guys, I'm Kate Sith number 2 Electric Boogaloo. I'm here to join your party and let's have a good time. Oh, this seems like a bad time."
The game's got a tone problem.
He even comes in and says, "Well, this seems like a bad time. Well, bye." It's so stupid.
I am reminded of, there's an anime series that is very popular. It's called Your Lie in April. I have heard it said that it is a very emotional show, very dramatic. People love it very much, and it touches them on a deep level. I attempted to watch it once, and there was a scene I remember where two characters were having a heart-to-heart, a very meaningful moment. And the scene was building and building the dramatic tension up to like an emotional peak. And then they finished it on a slapstick joke with no real emotional conclusion to the scene. Then they moved on to the next scene. And every single scene of the show felt like that to me. And that is, I feel, a very similar situation to Final Fantasy VII, in a way. The Kate Sith scene there specifically. Where you have this moment that kind of does work. And it starts building up to this emotional climax. And then Kate Sith 2 walks in the frame.
And he says, "This seems like a bad time, but anyways, I'm..." He literally says, "Kate Sith 2. And fucking then goes, "Well, bye. I look forward to working with you all." And then leaves. In the middle of this dramatic scene. It's so fucking stupid. Kate Sith is a dumb character. Also, you know what else is dumb? That digging minigame.
Every minigame is dumb.
Oh yeah, every single minigame has been fucking awful. We have yet to hit one that's good. But this one was like barely even a game.
It was pure trial and error.
Pretty much. Let me put it this way. Somebody told me where to dig, and because I was standing just one tile off, I still didn't find it.
Sick.
It was dumb. Also, I don't like navigating with the tiny Bronco.
I don't like navigating with, like, any of the vehicles.
I get that the tiny Bronco is... So, tiny Bronco, obviously, Sid's plane, it breaks, and they have to... It can now only, like, skirt over shallow water. It is more trouble than it is worth to navigate with that thing, because... You can't just like go around the edge of like all of the edges of the land like you would be able to in real life. And it sucks. I get that they're trying to make it so that when you get the airship, it's a big deal. Because the airship can just go wherever. But also, navigating with the tiny Bronco sucks.
I'm kind of just used to like... I mean, I played a lot of JRPGs after Final Fantasy VII, so this is a weird comparison, but I'm used to this structure of games where it's like you slowly get more and more access to the world map like that, and it's stupid, but it's whatever.
Well, yeah, I get the idea. It's just, see, the buggy is fine. It lets me pass over stuff. You can use it on the actual land, but then you can also pass on stuff that you can't pass on foot. But the tiny Bronco can travel on exactly one type of terrain and nothing else. And you have to take these weird roundabout paths to get half the goddamn places on the map. I don't like it. I'm looking forward to getting the airship so much.
Don't worry, before we get the airship, we'll get a proper boat that can actually go over the entire ocean. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm certain.
This is entirely judging by the soundtrack. Nothing else, so I might be wrong.
I mean, the Tiny Bronco doesn't have any music, so...
I think that's true. The Tiny Bronco does not get music, neither does the buggy, so... I don't know, but I think we're getting the airship soon.
Not necessarily, because...
Well, airships in Final Fantasy are usually, like, close to endgame, I guess, so maybe not soon, but also we've now been everywhere on the map. We've touched every landmass on the map.
That doesn't mean that we're getting the airship. Trust me.
That's fair.
Because they're gonna wanna like focus you on specific areas. So like they won't limit where you can go, but they'll make it inconvenient to go elsewhere.
I think the airship, as far as I understand, I just got the airship in Final Fantasy X. Let me paint a picture for how late you get the airship in 10. I can now go fight the final boss if I want to.
Sick.
Like, I could go finish Final Fantasy X and I just got the airship. So it could be that for all I know. This was a very packed section of the game. We have finished disc 1. We have seen one of the most famous scenes in the entire game. There is one last thing in this game that is like one of the most famous things in video games, and we're not going to hear that until the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very much looking forward to being able to talk about that, but we can't yet. I don't know when this episode's going out. We're not going to finish this game by the end of the year. I've made my peace with that, and that's fine. I'm not trying to super rush this game. I think we'll finish it within January, but I don't think we're going to finish it before 2020. And it certainly doesn't help that I go on vacation for like a week and a half right after Christmas.
That's okay. I'll do a solo episode without you.
Where you're just...
I'll invite David on.
You're just talking to... No, you got to do it by yourself. You got to have a conversation with yourself about the plot of Final Fantasy VII. So, I don't think we're going to finish by the end of the year. We will have one more episode in 2019, I think. And then after that, I think it's going to be a little while before we get another episode, because like I said, I do go on vacation pretty much right after Christmas. I will not be back until about a week after New Year's. So that's going to be a thing that holds things up.
You should just marathon your way through the game so that we can record after your vacation.
What if we did that? What if we straight up did that, though? I wouldn't be able to stream it. Which So first of all, I've had a great time. I've honestly enjoyed streaming this game. Though it does... We've both kind of talked about this. It does kind of suck only playing a long game like this 3 to 4 hours a week. And not any at all past that. It's not exactly the best way to experience a long game like this. We're gonna try and talk and figure out a better way to do that before we hit our next long game, which luckily is a long way away.
Well, yeah, but also we don't have any idea of what an alternative could be.
Yeah, we're kind of
so,
because I don't think either of us have time. I certainly don't have time to do more than really one stream a week or any longer of a stream on the day that I do stream.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we got jobs and stuff. So luckily, the next long game is not a long way away. That's our next long game is until fucking Thousand Year Door.
And even then, it's not that long.
Yeah, even then, it's not that long. But it's 26 games, 25 games from here.
But don't worry, that 100-hour Xenoblade is on this list.
That sure is. So is Persona 5, though.
And Dragon Quest XI.
And Dragon Quest XI, and Tokyo Mirage Sessions, and oh god, there's so many long games on this list. Speaking of games on this list, I'm sure anybody listening has been wondering, because we have put it off for months, but we finally made a decision for what game we are going to play for Fighter number 74, Terry. We are playing The King of Fighters 95.
When Sakurai himself tells you a game to play, you play it.
So the question was, do we want to play a Fatal Fury game or do we want to play a King of Fighters game? And it was going to be like, because Sakurai brought up an example for both of those series. And we basically both agreed, like, if Sakurai says it, that's the one. I'm going to take his word for it. We don't know when exactly we're going to stream that or what exactly like number game that's going to be. We know roughly when we'll probably do it because we're going to wait until we're physically in the same location, hopefully, unless that looks like it's not going to happen. And then we'll like figure something else out because unfortunately, while it is available on the Switch, there is no online play. So that's unfortunate, but whatever. So we think we may be in the same area in like the end of February, I think, for PAX. It's possible. It's not 100%, but it's possible.
It all depends on PAX East.
Pretty much.
Joe might be going to PAX East. If he is, that's when we're playing it. Because it's not just going to be us there. It's going to be some other NWR friends that we could play with.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm not, we'll figure it out from there.
If it's not, then it will pretty much be the next game that we play once Joe has definitively said he is not going to PAX East.
If I had to take a guess as to where it would probably fall, if I do end up going to PAX East, if we finish this game like mid-January or late January, I think it would probably, if I had to make a guess, either after Star Fox or after Yoshi. I would probably say after Yoshi, because all three games after Final Fantasy VII are games that we could probably beat in one sitting. And so those will be short turnaround times, I feel like. But then after that is Metal Gear. So honestly, if that episode comes out in the middle of Metal Gear, it'll be confusing, but that's how it'll go.
I mean, that's how we did Street Fighter.
That is true. That is how we did Street Fighter. So yeah, we'll figure that out. We'll probably also, if I had to guess, probably try and look up like an Evo top 8. Or something to watch for that one, like we did with Street Fighter, because that was fun, and I think that gave us a good insight too. But that's up in the air. I'm not gonna confirm anything on that count yet. So yeah, for Terry, we are playing The King of Fighters 95, and it will be slotted in at the most convenient time for us, and we will make sure that you know ahead of time when that is. And that's all I got.
And for Fighters Pass number 5, we are playing Tales of Symphonia, right?
In as far as you wish. I thought we were playing Yakuza 0, but that's just me.
Even in a shitpost meme, I'm not going to pretend that that's ever going to happen.
Yeah. I know usually we would talk about the music here, but I'm going to be real. None of the music in this section really paid off. Oh, I forgot the most important question. Who did you go on a date with?
It railroaded me into Aerith.
Whoa! Oh, unfortunate. I went with Tifa.
I didn't know I was getting a choice.
You didn't. So it's based on what character likes Cloud the most, depending on dialogue options and other things.
Ah, it's one of those, I see.
So I went with Tifa. There are 4 options. The 3 obvious ones being Aerith, Yuffie, or Tifa, or Barret. You can also go with Barret. And apparently Barret hates every minute of it, from what I hear. I went with Tifa. That Aerith still goes and does the... does she still go and do the play?
Yes.
Okay, good, because that play was amazing. Did you kiss the princess or the evil dragon king?
Oh, I went off the rails so hard, that wasn't even an opportunity.
Ah, damn. It gave me the option, and I was like, I gotta kiss the princess, because it's Tifa, but I want you all to know the temptation to kiss the evil dragon king is the strongest I've yet experienced in this game. And I regret not doing it. But I do want to give a shout out to one song, even though we have technically already mentioned it, but it's very, very important in this section of the game, and that is Aerith's theme. It being a battle theme is weird, but also gives that scene just a little bit more oomph. Like, even if I don't care about Aerith that much, I will admit that it's a really well done scene, at the very least. Like, having it drive home that Cloud is not entirely in control of his own actions, with, like, him walking up and the game basically forcing you to get ready to, like, swing your sword down on her. That was well done, at least. So figured I should give a second shout out to that, because we're never going to hear that song again.
I mean, we might.
We might. We probably will. I don't got anything else, do you?
I just want to give a shout out to Truck Coon.
Which one is Truck Coon?
The truck.
Oh, right! I forgot about that!
Because Final Fantasy VII's an isekai.
Where that fucking truck hits... Oh my god, that was super good.
I cannot wait for Remake.
Oh, that scene's going to be amazing. That and the play are the two things that I desperately want to see in Remake. And neither of them are going to be in Part 1.
This is probably where Part 2 of Remake's going to end.
Oh, probably. So, you can follow us on Twitter, Ask Masterpieces, on Facebook, Ask Masterpieces. You can find us on YouTube as Smashterpieces. Basically, if you're looking for us, you can probably find us as Smashterpieces. Pretty easy. You can find me on Twitter at TheDebugger. You can find Matt at Grimace Do Menace. These episodes are now edited by Peter Spezia. You can find his stuff over on rhymeswithasia.com, or you can find him on Twitter at PeteSpeakEasy. So go ahead and go give him a follow. He does a show with me called Original Sound Chat as well, and that's pretty cool. And you can find that and this show at our website at anondino.squarespace.com, and you can also find us on nintendoworldreport.com. So go check those out. With that, my name is Joe.
And my name is Matt.
And we will see you next time as we dive into Disc 2 of Final Fantasy VII.